Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Bryant. This is Stuff You Should Know. Oh, and hey, Jerry. Sorry, Jerry. Jerry is the unsung hero.
Heroin.
Yes. Little horse for a little monkey.
What?
It's an old Mr. Science Theater 3000 line.
Oh. Oh, you threw me there. I thought she had a little horse and a little monkey or something.
Under her desk.
Well, I was about to be like, Jerry, why don't you tell me you had a little horse and a little monkey?
She has a pony and a macaque with her. So, yeah.
That's how we're starting this one?
Why not?
Okay.
All right, Chuck. I have a pretty decent intro this time.
Well, let's hear it then.
Have you ever heard of the lost colony of Roanoke?
I have. But I would like you to fill us in.
Thank you. So back in the, I think, 17th century, the early 17th century, Roanoke was one of the very first colonies, if not the first American colony, right?
Yeah.
In what is now North Carolina, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was thriving for a little while. They had a nice little fort, and they used to fight with the Native Americans and, you know, pretty normal early American colonial stuff, right?
Sure.
So, like I said, everything is going happily along. And then about 2 years after the colony is established, mm-hmm. an expedition bringing supplies comes along, and they find the thing totally abandoned. No sign of life.
Wow.
I don't believe there is any dead bodies.
Creepy.
Or bones.
Creepy.
And the only trace of anything was the word Croatoan carved into one of the posts that made up the fort.
You're kidding.
And I think there were some there was a local tribe called the Croatoan, but they were nowhere to be found.
That's creepy.
Isn't it very creepy? This whole colony just vanished.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Wolverines was spray painted on the front right. of it.
But the they think now that they may have been absorbed by another tribe, the okay. Lumbee,
uh-huh.
which actually were completely alien to whites until I think the early 18th century
okay.
or very late, like several decades after the colony at Roanoke vanished, right?
Right.
And when the whites did encounter them, they said, hey, why do some of you look kind of white? And why are you building two-story thatch houses like we right. have in England?
I right.
mean, you know, how do you know how to read the Bible?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
what's up with this baseball thing?
Exactly. they think that the Lumbee tribe absorbed the colonists at Roanoke.
Wow.
But that is among the very few lost colonies of human history.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
I'll tell you another species that has tons of lost colonies. Bees.
Dude, best setup ever.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Thanks, Chuck.
Really, really good. Yes, Josh, we are here today to talk about colony collapse disorder because bees are disappearing at an alarming rate, much like the people of the Roanoke colony.
Right. And, Chuck, I think that probably most of the people who listen to our podcast said, why do I care that bees are disappearing? I hate bees. They sting me, and they chase me in my dreams.
You know why?
I do. Why?
You want me to tell them?
Yeah.
Because bees are vital to almost any kind of vegetation you can eat. And not only that, let's say you're like, I don't eat vegetables. I eat meat.
That's me all over.
Did you know? Here, let me give you a little scenario that was posed in this article, Josh.
Okay.
Take the almond population.
Let's.
For example. My new favorite nut, as you know, is the almond.
I know. Chuck's crazy about almonds.
Oh, they're so good for you. Beekeepers basically go to California every year with about 40 billion honeybees to pollinate the almond crop.
Right. Every February. It's about
every February. And over those few weeks, 80% of the world's almond crop is pollinated, and about $1 billion in exports are generated. So you might think, okay, well, I don't eat almonds either, tough guy.
Yeah.
Those almonds, the almond hulls are sold as cattle feed, part of the cattle feed.
Right.
They're also crushed as shells for bedding for livestock.
Right.
And the dust, almond dust, is collected as an additive to the topsoil. So that hamburger has almond juice running through it.
Yeah.
Which has bee juice running through it.
Yeah. And that's just almonds.
Yeah.
I think a total of $15 billion worth of agricultural products are pollinated by commercial honeybees every year.
Every year.
And we said that bees are disappearing. Mostly it's honeybees that are disappearing under the colony collapse disorder, right, Chuck?
Yeah, specifically that's what we're worried about.
So it is important, obviously, that mm-hmm. honeybees are kept happy and healthy.
Big time.
And that they not mysteriously vanish without a trace.
Yeah, it's not just about honey, folks.
Although honey is delicious.
It is delicious and nutritious.
Let's talk about what colony collapse disorder is, Chuckers.
Okay. I think Jessica Toothman said in this article that attrition rates in a bee colony is normal because bees do have wings and they will fly away. And about 20% is an average of what you're looking for.
I think it's like an average maximum.
Average max? Okay.
Yeah. Because, I mean, when you let the bees out to go pollinate, some are just going to be like, I like this colony, or I think I'm going to go hit the road with Neil Cassidy or something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
They don't always come back.
That's true. And so starting as early as 2002, but really in 2006 is when it really, really peaked, or not peaked, but when it really showed its ugly face, the bees started leaving and not coming back at it, and we suspect dying at a rate of anywhere from 30 to 90%.
90%.
That's huge.
And do you remember you said a minute ago that every February about 40 billion bees? Mm-hmm. That's in just 1 million hives. So if 90% of a hive is dying off or vanishing,
yeah, that's a lot of
that
bees.
Is a lot of bees. Mm-hmm. In just one hive, which we should probably specify is virtually interchangeable with the word colony. Hive and colony, same thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's creepy?
What?
Is sometimes when they come back and they see that all the bees are gone, sometimes you'll just see the queen and larvae and a few younger bees, and that's it.
And they're like, where is everybody gone?
And maybe crow, what's the word again?
Croatoan.
Maybe croatoan is like scrawled into the beehive.
Yeah, in honey.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's colony collapse disorder. Most of the time it's the workers are just gone, vanished.
Uh-huh.
Or at least 90% of them, right? And what I guess another kind of interesting and almost unsettling aspect is that when a beehive gets abandoned
mm-hmm.
and all that's left is like the queen and some larvae, and especially when there's tons of honey in it,
yeah, yeah.
Moths, other kinds of bees, wasps, any other insect with a taste for sweet, sweet honey invades it immediately.
Uh-huh.
Not so with colonies that have been hit by colony collapse disorder.
Yeah, they wait a few days, right?
Yeah, they do.
That's creepy.
It's real creepy.
That'd be like leaving some steak out in the hot sun in July, and there being like no flies or animals buzzing around.
Right, until like the following Thursday.
That's really creepy.
Yeah, it definitely gives you an idea that something serious is up, right? So we have mystery, 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 tons of bees dying or vanishing. And like you said, Chuck, this really stepped up in 2006, 7, and 8, right?
Yeah.
And it's still going on from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
This is not the first time that this happened, though.
Yeah, you said it was the worst case ever was when?
It's not the worst. I think this is the worst case ever.
Oh, it is.
But before, it's been pretty bad. In 1995, in Pennsylvania, beekeepers reported 53% of their hives just knocked out, just
really?
Vanished, gone, or dead.
Uh-huh.
We have mysterious beehive abandonments dating back to the 1880s, the early 20th century. And in 1903 in Utah, 2,000 colonies were mysteriously lost.
Really?
Yeah, just gone. So
wow.
this isn't if you'll notice, it's Utah, Pennsylvania, here or there, you know?
Uh-huh.
With colony collapse disorder, it's spread around. There's evidence of it in Australia, in Europe, in the U.S.
Yeah, actually, Australia said they've been doing okay.
Okay, well, there's evidence of it in not Australia, but in Europe, in the U.S.
I apologize. Australia did say they had reported it, but things seem to be back on track in Australia. So you were right.
Should I say it again?
No, you should just smack me.
All right. So, Chuck, the apiarists, you like that?
Very nice.
This is another word for beekeeper.
Uh-huh.
Are getting a little bit concerned. It's widespread. The numbers are high. It's mysterious. What possibly is going on here?
Well, they're not quite sure, Josh. That's why it's a little distressing.
I know. This mystery of the vanishing bees.
Yeah, they do
awesome.
Have some ideas. And after reading this article and a few other supplementary articles, my belief is that it's a combination of factors. It's probably not one thing.
Yeah, and actually the USDA's Steering Committee on Colony Collapse Disorder,
uh-huh.
It's a mouthful,
yeah.
They just released their first, white paper on colony collapse disorder this past July, and they concluded the same thing.
Oh, really?
That there's a bunch of different factors at work. There were some ideas thrown out, like some unknown organism or pathogen was affecting them. They said probably not. There was a study done in Germany as to whether or not cell phone and cell phone towers
were
putting off radiation that was screwing with the bees' homing abilities.
Uh-huh.
And these Germans did that study, and they said, no, not happening. And apparently the opposite was picked up by the news cycle, to the point where the guy who conducted the study wrote the AP a letter saying, we found no link between colony collapse disorder and cell phones. Anybody who says or writes anything else is a liar.
But they were linking that, and journalists were linking that?
And journalists love to link stuff.
Rabble rouse.
Yeah. It's right. Correlative, not causative.
Let's talk about a couple of these things, Josh.
All right.
Let's talk about the Israeli acute paralysis virus.
This seems to be the most important factor. If there's several factors involved in colony collapse disorder, this seems like right at the top.
I would agree. Just from reading about it, it is a virus discovered by Israeli scientists in 2002, and it causes trembling, paralysis, and death in bees, it just makes me really sad to think about a trembling, paralyzed, and then dying bee.
What's cool is that these researchers in this study in 2007, introduced IAPV into some hives, and then kept some other ones separate, so that they wouldn't become infected, because honeybees are very social and they frequently interact with bees from other colonies. But they infected them in this greenhouse.
Yeah, this is creepy.
And then as the bees were dying, the researchers noted that the healthy bees were dragging the dead ones to the outskirts of the greenhouse, as far away from the hive as they could.
I know.
They were quarantining these dead bee
bodies. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
That seems to me to be a real red flag here.
You know what else is?
What?
That when they studied there was another study in 2007 that looked at already infected colony collapse disorder hives and then non-CCD hives.
Right.
And they found that in 96.1% of the infected hives, IAPV was present.
Really?
But it wasn't in any of the non-CCD hives. So it's definitely a huge factor.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah.
But not case closed, because there are some other factors that may weigh in as well.
Right.
Pesticides is a big one.
Specifically, Chuck,
the neonicotinoid.
Nice.
If people knew that it took 20 minutes for us to spit that out, they'd laugh.
Yeah.
They are neurotoxins, Josh, and they are pesticides, and they're used to protect crops against pests, which all pesticides
unfortunately
do.
Also honeybees as well.
Yeah, and I think the Germans, once again, the beekeepers in Germany are blaming this for massive die-off rates.
Right.
The same Germans who said that the cell phones had nothing to do with it.
So much so that some countries are starting to ban this type of pesticide.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think there's been any causal link established, it's the correlation's enough that, you know.
You want to hear the saddest factor for me?
It's sad, but at the same time, I imagine some bee in like a crumpled fedora carrying a briefcase returning to the hive, you know?
Right. Joe versus the bee, beehive.
Oh, I love that movie.
Me too. Stress, Josh, is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And these poor little bees, because of beekeepers stretching out the pollination season, basically giving bees less time to recuperate before carrying them around to another crop, they're overworked and they're stressed out. and it could be, you know, disrupting their immune systems and killing them off.
Right.
Sad, sad, sad.
And then the last factor in the article that was mentioned as a possible culprit was the Varroa mite.
Yeah, what's the deal with these suckers?
They actually transmit IAPV to bees.
Well, there you have it.
They're little jerks.
Little jerky mites.
So, like we said, $15 billion worth of agricultural crop products in the U.S. alone were pollinated by commercial honeybees. So you can imagine that the USDA is a little worried about colony collapse disorder, right?
Yeah, they're actually looking to alternative methods of pollinating, like synthetic methods of pollinating plants because of this.
Naked guys running through the fields, that's one.
Yeah. And other bees are trying to put other bees to work.
Yes.
Like, which one was it? The blue orchard bee?
Yeah.
They're seeing if that works.
And then, of course, they're also trying to do what they can to take care of the honeybees and restore their population. But it's not just the USDA that has a hand in honeybee repopulation.
No.
No?
No.
It's you and I, too, Chuck.
You and I and Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Well, we're going to give you some tips here in a minute on what you can do as an individual, but I did want to point out that delicious Haagen-Dazs ice cream has nearly 50% of their all-natural ice creams. It sounds like I'm reading an ad.
Yeah.
It's because it's from their website. Nearly 50% of them use honeybees in some way, shape, or form
right,
to get their ultimate ingredient. So they've got a little deal going where they...
What is the ultimate ingredient?
Well, there's 50 of them.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, 50%, sorry. They have created a special flavor called Vanilla Honeybee, and they call it a delicious tribute to these essential creatures. And, of course, when you buy this kind or any of them that have the ingredients that come from the honeybee's help, they donate some money.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool. And yeah, you can donate just straight to a cause via the Haagen-Dazs site.
Or you can be nice to your local apiarists and maybe having a bad day, and that could just help, right?
Sure, that would help. So we have some tips for you, Josh. You want to go over some of these?
My favorite is contact your member of parliament and tell them to start funding bee research more. Chuck, I defy you to contact your member of parliament.
They'll throw their wig at me. The number one on the list of, and this is clearly England, but I imagine you can do the same things here, is to become a beekeeper. That's a good one.
Sure.
Cool job.
The more hives, the better, unless they're infected, and then the opposite is true.
Yeah. Another thing you can do is protect swarms. If you see a swarm of honeybees, don't go out there with the can of Raid.
Or your can of hairnet and a lighter.
Yeah, that's even a worse idea. You should contact a local authority, and supposedly they will contact a beekeeper that will come and round them up.
You want to make sure that they're going to contact a beekeeper. Actually, there's people who do swarm removals and just kill all the bees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you want to make sure that they're going to be taken to a hive by a beekeeper.
And then the guy comes out with his can of Raid and the lighter, right. Some local redneck.
Right.
Plant your garden with bee-friendly plants. This is the biggest one that you can actually make an impact here at home. So we're talking single flowering plants and vegetables. And they recommend the Allium family, mint, beans, except for French beans and flowering herbs. And bees especially like daisy-shaped flowers, so sunflowers.
Sunflowers are big.
Are really big for helping to helping the honeybees out.
And if you have your hands in your pockets right now and you're feeling nothing but lint and you're like, I'd really love to help the bees, but I can't afford any sunflower seeds, man. I'm not, like, rich. You can actually contact a group called the Great Sunflower Project.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they'll send you some seeds. In return, all they ask is that you spend 30 minutes twice a month. If you can't swing that, then you need to take stock of your life. 30 minutes twice a month in the garden, noting arrival times, departure times, and whether or not you even see any bees on your sunflowers, and sending in the information.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, because if you don't see any bees, that's really important to tell them as well.
Right, and don't use pesticides midday, Chuck.
Oh, is that a big one?
Yeah, well, that's when bees are most likely to be out foraging.
Okay.
So if you're going to spray any kind of pesticide, don't do it in the middle of the day. It's bad news.
Right, they also say if you're going to use pesticides or pest control, to use insect-specific pesticides. Mm-hmm. So don't buy kill all.
And don't buy kills honeybees.
Yeah, exactly. A few other gardening tips for you. I know you're quite the gardener. They say if you have space to use 10 or more bee plants in a group, if you can group them together, that's a good thing.
Sure, makes pollination easier.
Sure. And if not, you know, do what you can, plant as many as you can. They also require water when they're foraging in your garden. So, you know, put out a little bird bath, and if you don't have a bird bath, maybe just a dish of water in your garden. Didn't know that, did you?
I did not.
That's a good one. And they also burrow in the ground. So they say not to completely mulch your entire garden, to leave some bare areas, maybe where you don't see it, or maybe put a little mound of sand and the bees can home down in there.
Huh.
So another little tip you can use. And native plants are always good. If you're a gardener, plant native plants to your state because bees eat them up. And aside from gardening, you can also buy local honey.
You know, I used to know an apiarist. I interviewed him once for the Henry County Times when I edited it, and he sold local honey. I got stung by a bee, by the way, while I was interviewing him.
Really?
Hurt, man. And like 3 years later, I was at someone's house, a friend's house, and they just happened to have honey from this guy's farm. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, if your city is like Atlanta, then there are all manner of farmers markets.
That story sounded so much more interesting in my head before I spit it out.
I thought it was interesting.
Thanks.
Can you tell, by the way, I just breezed right over
it? Yeah, I can.
if Atlanta is like your town, you probably have all kind of farmers markets, local markets, and I guarantee you there will be somebody with honey at those.
And they say if you're into immunology and you believe that you can immunize yourself from local allergies using honey,
right,
which is yet to be proven, but it makes a lot of sense. You want to buy honey that's created within 15 miles of your house.
Right. And buying local is always a good idea.
Sure.
All across the board. And I got one more, unless you have one more.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Because I want to finish with this one. It's so good. Under the heading bee friendly.
Terrible.
Some tips on, you know, if you have bees in your area, don't swat them. Don't flap your hands around. Just stay calm and move slowly away into the shade, they say. And bees will lose interest. They also don't have as much interest if you smell like alcohol or leather. And they regard dark clothing as a threat. So put on some dark leather pants, get drunk, and hang out in your garden.
Apparently, I will never get stung by a bee.
Wow.
Nice.
I'd like to see that.
If you want to learn more about this mysterious colony collapse disorder, you can read Jessica Toothman's fascinating article, How Colony Collapse Disorder Works. I imagine if you type in collapse disorder or colony collapse disorder into the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com, it will yield said article. In the meantime, let's do some listener mail.
Josh, these are two from two kids, and you know we like the kid emails. Because they're always nice and super friendly and cute and not like us cynical, old, rotten adults.
Yeah.
So the first one is from Beto, which I love that name, Beto.
What is it, Italian, Portuguese?
I would think it's Italian.
Okay.
Hey guys, my name is Beto, pronounced B-E-T-O. I know you're laughing, so laugh. I have listened to every single one of your podcasts since the 8th grade, and I am now a sophomore in high school.
Wah!
Now, doesn't that really put it in perspective?
Yeah.
I feel old all of a sudden.
And cynical.
We're seeing these people grow up.
It brings a tear to my eye.
You know, when we get a graduation invitation from Sarah, the 11-year-old fan, then it's time to hang it up.
Yeah.
All right, Beto says, I have to wake up every morning at 6 a.m. to catch the bus at 7 so I can go to a school 30 minutes away from my house. It's about an hour bus ride. I'm not sure how that works. And all I can do is listen to my iPod every day. I download two or more and prepare for my day. And you two have become quite possibly my two favorite heroes besides Matt Bellamy, who I had to look that up.
Who is it?
He's the lead singer of Muse.
Oh.
So we're heroes along with this Muse dude.
Yeah.
Because every morning I'm sitting on that crowded bus with loud people and I can listen to you two talk about a random subject, including ones that sound boring at first, but thanks to you, I learn something and get a few laughs along the way. You are the coolest guys I know, kind of since I don't actually know you, he says. And I hope that you guys never quit doing this. Your number one fan for real, Beto. He follows up for you specifically. He says, Josh, you're amazing, and I have a man crush on you, but I have a girlfriend, so you know. Haha, she doesn't know. That's what he says.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Did Beto just come on to me?
I think so.
All right.
Beto actually says he would be in awe shock if you read this on the air, but I doubt you will. So I'm kind of...
I think Beto just used reverse psychology on you.
I think so.
This Beto kid is sharp.
Just got punked by a 10th grader. All right, and here's another quickie from Nick in Alpharetta. Nick is 17 in Alpharetta, Georgia. And he has written us before, but he had a personal tie to Edward of Woodstock from the Mercenaries podcast. He was his great-great-great, et cetera, grandfather. How about that?
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh? He says, I know this because... Well, that's what he put. He didn't know how many greats it was. And he knows this because they have a family tree, and he is right near the beginning of it. And after he was Edward of Woodstock, he became Edward, Prince of Wales.
Oh, yeah?
And then, and that's what he says, at least. And he goes and details a little bit of Edward of Woodstock's life and just says that, thanks for mentioning him. He's related to him.
Very cool.
Right here in Georgia.
Yeah, in Alpharetta. It's right up the road a piece.
Right up the road.
Well, thank you, Beto and Nick. We appreciate both of you guys for writing in. We love all of you who write in. And by love, I mean really appreciate and are fond of. If you want us to love you, you can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.